followed by the afternoon liturgy, the solemn liturgy of Good Friday, called the Mass of the Priests Sanctified, which begins at 1:30. So remember, confessions 11:30, stations 12:30, the Mass of the Priests Sanctified at 1:30. And that Mass of the Priests Sanctified will include the singing of the Passion of Good Friday. And then afterwards, after 3 o'clock, after the liturgy is finished for the day, we'll have confessions resume after 3 p.m. So do your best to, even if you're not able to come here for the ceremonies tomorrow, do your best to keep the day holy, especially the hours from 12 to 3 in honor of the hours that Jesus was dying on the cross. The Easter Vigil on Saturday begins at 10:15 in the evening with the blessing of the fire. And then the Easter Vigil, which is such a beautiful ceremony that unfortunately many people don't see it because they're not able to come at that late hour. But those of you who know how beautiful it is and others who would like to find out, I hope you'll be able to attend the vigil service at 10:15. And that will be followed by Midnight Mass of Easter Sunday. So, of course, that Mass fulfills your obligation, your Sunday obligation. And also then there will be a second Mass here on Easter at 9 a.m. So we'll have a Midnight Mass and then a Mass at 9 in the morning for Easter Sunday. After the Easter Mass at night and in the morning, we'll have food and refreshments in the hall. So I hope that all of you will be able to come, and if you would, please help us out by bringing a plate of food to share with everyone and sort of a way of celebrating Easter, bringing a cake or cookies or even sandwiches and things like that to share to celebrate this great festival of Easter. Well, now, after the Gloria was sung in the Mass tonight with great joy and the bells and the organ played and the bells were ringing, now there is silence in the church as we contemplate the Last Supper and then the Passion of our Savior tonight especially. So you won't hear the bells ring any longer now until the resurrection of our Lord on Easter Sunday. So we enter now into the Passion of our Lord, but we do have all these wonderful things to remember that our Lord granted us on this day, and especially the gift of Himself in the Holy Eucharist. And so the epistle for tonight's Mass was taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, when you come together, therefore, into the one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper, for everyone taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry and another is drunk. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink, for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself. And so let him eat of that bread, and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. Please stand now for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from St. John chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, The devil, having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he rises from supper, and layeth aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girded himself. And after that he putteth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being sat down again, he said to them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so do you also. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The volume is too loud. Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. With these beautiful words, St. John describes the night of our Lord's great love for mankind. Our Savior knew that he was going to die the next day. This would be his last chance to really speak to his disciples at the Last Supper, and it would be his last chance to teach them. And what was it that our Lord chose for his last lesson? It was this: A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. All of Christianity is summed up in this sentence. This is the essence of Christianity. That love for one another in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ is what we are called to do. This is the commandment of the Lord. It's no longer enough to say, I love my neighbor as myself. For unfortunately, there are many people who don't like themselves very much. So our Lord gives us the commandment in which we are now to love one another as he has first loved us. But how did our Lord love us? Well, he shows us tonight at the Last Supper. First, he showed us his love by becoming a servant to us. He became the servant to all. He washes the feet of his disciples. And remember, these men had very dirty and dusty feet, walking all day long with sandals on their feet. This was a very menial and low task that no one would want to perform. And our Lord takes this lowly task on himself in order to teach us that we should always strive to serve and to help others, even by doing very menial and humbling tasks such as this, the washing of the feet. And we can ask ourselves, do I strive then to imitate our Lord and his love for us by helping other people? Or am I selfish? Do I always put myself first? Our Lord says, you must love one another as I have loved you. And that means being a servant to others, putting yourself beneath them and helping them in whatever way you can. Secondly, our Lord shows us his love by giving himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. This is a tremendous gift, the greatest treasure we have on earth, truly. This night he took bread and wine, and he changed them into his own body and blood. This is a great mystery of our faith. It is something that many non-Catholics will say, this is impossible. I don't understand this. There's a well-known story of a Muslim prince who could not comprehend this. And he was talking to this Catholic man, and he said, it's impossible. We have too great an idea of Allah to think that he would lower himself to be the food for us. And the Catholic said to this Muslim prince, he said, it is because you only have an understanding of the greatness of God that you do not understand his love. His love is so great that he is willing to lower himself, to unite himself, to become one with us. This then has always been the mystery of our faith, that dividing line between Christians or Catholics and non-Catholics. It's what separates the followers of our Lord from those who cannot cross that boundary and become his follower. It's too difficult for them to understand. But when we read the scriptures entirely, we do seem to understand better, because our Lord says, I will be with you always, even to the consummation of the world. I will always be with you. And you think about it, what parent is there that would not want to always be with their children? That is, the night before they die, and they say to their children, I'll always be with you. I will always stand by your side. Of course, any parent, out of love for their child, would say this, when I go to heaven, I will always watch over you. In a similar way, but in a much greater way, our Lord is saying that to his disciples. The night before he dies, he's saying, I will stay always with you. And I will give myself to you. Take and eat. This is my body. And take and drink. This is the cup of my blood. And the disciples understood. For 1 year before, in his famous sermon on the Holy Eucharist, our Lord said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And now the disciples understood. This is how we are going to have eternal life. It won't be through our own strength alone. It'll be through the strength that Christ furnishes us, with which he furnishes us, the strength that he gives us in the Holy Eucharist. Let us then remember this great gift and always strive to come before our Lord and to stay with him. Tonight, spend as much time as you can with him. We only have adoration till midnight. Why not then spend these hours with our Lord, reading the scriptures, remembering what he taught us? Read the Gospel of St. John, for instance, the lessons that he taught the disciples at the Last Supper. They're so beautiful. And you might say to yourself, when was the last time I read the Gospels? Especially, when was the last time I read the Gospel of St. John? Maybe it's been years. Or why not tonight read the Passion of our Lord from a beautiful book such as the Anne Catherine Emmerich's book or from the Gospels themselves, to read about our Lord's suffering for us. Then you will understand the greatness of his love. The third gift that our Lord gave us tonight, actually he gave us many more, because this third gift ties in other gifts. It's the gift of the Holy Mass. And of course, with that gift is the priesthood. So tremendous things that our Lord gave us tonight. Our Lord, in this third gift, he is teaching us that his love for us is such that he is willing to die for us. He will sacrifice himself. He will take upon himself our sins the guilt and the punishment due to our sins, and he will die in order that we might have life. Knowing that we couldn't be there at Calvary, that millions and millions of souls would never experience what it was like to see our Lord die on the cross, he instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass in order to make us present once more at his sacrifice. The Mass is truly Calvary renewed on our altar. When you are at Mass, you are at Calvary. And I'm not talking about a new or different Calvary. I'm talking about the Calvary of 2,000 years ago. For the Mass makes us present once again. We say it represents, it presents again the sacrifice of Christ to us. But it's a continuation of that one death of 2,000 years ago that he renews continually on our altars throughout the world. He makes you present there. Now, granted, it's a sacramental presence on our altar. That is, it's a hidden, when we say sacramental, it's a mystery. It's hidden behind the mystery of the appearance of bread and wine. But our Lord is truly there and is offering himself again for you in the Holy Mass. And so when you come to Mass, you should think to yourself, I am going to the hill of Calvary to see my Lord sacrifice for me again. And the precious blood of our Lord is being applied to us by our assisting at the Mass. And that's why you should love to be at Mass, just like you would love to be at Calvary. I know it was a terrible thing when Jesus died, but each one of us would say, I wish I could have been there. In order to have been one of those people who, when they saw Jesus die, they were striking their breast and saying, truly, he was a just man. Truly, this was the Son of God. And they were converted. And this is what we would want to do as well. And that's precisely what the Mass enables us to do, is to be there at Calvary again. St. Margaret of Scotland is a good example for us in this, because this woman was the Queen of Scotland. So she had a great many duties. But on top of being queen of her country, she was the mother of 8 children. And so she was a very busy woman. But do you know that she went to Mass every single day, and she brought her 8 children with her? So you think about that, and you say to yourself, oh, I can't go to Mass, I have my kids, and it's too hard, and they fuss. St. Margaret's kids fussed, I'm sure. But you know what she did? She taught them from their earliest years how great the Mass is, so that they were learning from the time they were 2 and 3 years old to be very attentive at Mass. And when they got old enough, she gave to each one of her children a missal. And they were very valuable, of course, especially in her days before the printing press. The missal was a very valuable thing to have. And to make it even more valuable to her children, she would take her own, as queen of the country, she had been given many precious gems and stones, and she would take those precious stones and she would have them sewn, embedded into her children's missals, so that they would always realize how precious is their missal, how precious is the Mass at which they are assisting. And her children had a great love for the Mass because of that. And so that's what we have to do in turn. We have to teach our young children a great love of the Mass and a great respect for the liturgy of the Church and a love for the Missal that shows us that liturgy and a love for the music of the Church, too, that we hear tonight at this ceremony. So remember this, then. Imitate our Lord. Tonight is the night of his love. And imitate him by loving others. That is what it means to be a Christian. If somebody asked you, what does it mean to be a Christian? Love one another as Christ has loved us. And when you need help, because we all get to a point where we're, unfortunately, our neighbors sometimes make us very mad and we don't want to love them. When you need that help, what do? You come to our Lord. It's like saying to Jesus, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't love others as you loved us. I need help. And so you come to him, you come to Mass, and you receive our Lord again. And his presence in you gives you that strength, that ability to love others as he has loved us. Because now within you, the Holy Eucharist resides. Our Lord, his love burns within you. So, my dear friends, this ceremony tonight shows us so much. I want to end with the words that our Lord said to Saint Gertrude. He said to her, "You may be sure that regarding one who devoutly assists at Holy Mass, I will send him as many of my saints to comfort him and protect him during the last moments of his life as there will have been Masses which he has heard well." Our Lord said to Saint Gertrude, "For every Mass you hear well, he will send you another saint to assist you at the hour of your death." Let us then all assist at this Mass tonight with great fervor, and let us resolve to attend as many Masses as we can for the love of our Lord and for the salvation of our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.